hello and welcome to this special bonus edition of Ego in July. This is a little, just a little quick one really. I've had to record this again because I had my AirPods in and I was rambling away to myself for 10 minutes. And when I played the audio back, all you could hear was the side of me face or something farting. I don't know. So I put it out to the boys in the group. Now, the boys being, I'm not sure how many of them are going to reply, but I've put it out to Nick, Stuart, Luke, Ryan, Paul Washington, and I, this week, have added Mr. Ripley to the group, the talented Mr. Ripley. I don't know how present he'll be, but it's one of the most favourite ever episodes of this that I recorded. We had such a laugh, so I'm hoping he'll come on the odd show. So he's in the group anyway, if he's on this bonus. If he's not, meh. So basically, all I want off the boys is two songs from their youth, and I don't really care about the songs. I'm not really that interested. I'm more interested in the memories they invoke. So for me, the first song I'm going to pick is Video Killed the Radio Star, and it is by, is it the Budgies, the Boogies or something, can't remember, right, but it came out in 1980, I was only 7 then, so that isn't really my memory. The memory for me is around 86, 87, my auntie was the cool, rich auntie, lived at home with mum and dad, my nanny and granddad, and she had a Ford Escort, top of the line for the day, you know what I mean, a Boss interior, beautiful, minty, minted, mint, fucking hell, right, and she used to work for the Busies at some point. I don't think she was in the Busies then. I remember going into a place of work, and she showed me the computers back then, and it was just reels and reels of tape, and they were huge. So, yeah, But on the side, she used to debt collect. Wah, wah, wah. So basically, back in the 80s, I don't know what it's like now, but back in the 80s, if you couldn't pay your debt to Grattan's catalogue or whatever, they would give it to a debt agency, and the debt agency would send people like my auntie out to collect said debt. So I was in the car as insurance. I would mind the money. Oh, it was amazing. Like, somebody would owe 400 quid to Grattan's catalogue, and they'd say, yeah, I'll pay you back 50p a week. And she, as long as they offered to pay, she would go, okay, sign the paperwork, and every week she would go and collect 50p a week off them. And that's how it was. So I was in the car to mind the money, basically. But my auntie had one fabulous mixtape, and I can't remember what else was on it, but I remember Video Killed the Radio Star. And it invokes memories of that area of Liverpool. So when I drive through that area of Liverpool now, I still get the memory of Video Killed the Radio Star, and when I listen to Video Killed the Radio Star, I get memories of that area. I can even smell the interior of a car. So this is the first song. The second song is Deeply Dippy by Right Said Fred. Now this is from 1992, which was basically, if I remember rightly, well, no, we did. We won the FA Cup then. Morning. We won the FA Cup, Liverpool, against Sunderland, battered them. Souness had had his triple R bypass and all that, or double R bypass, whatever he had, doesn't matter. He still sold his story to the Sun. Meh. Don't buy the scum. And basically, that was the summer where all the boys were on top form. We were all single. We were all free. We were all drunk. That FA Cup final was in Paul Carter's house, and he introduced us to Sol. We were drinking Sol all day. We got blitzed because we won the cup. Yeah, 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 we won the cup. And I don't know if I'm getting these memories mixed up, but the vivid memory is Deeply Dippy playing on his tape, because he had a tape player in his bedroom, and all us being blitzed, playing the instruments, playing the trumpet, playing the drums, playing whatever, singing. I remember particularly, I was the one smashed out my head, lying on his bed, singing my head off, top of my voice. Deep. And even now, I still love that song, because you can have a bloody good sing-song to that song. You play the trumpet, you play everything, you do everything. You wish you had a vest top on with your muscles out and a big slap head. And I'll still sing it top of my voice in the car, and at traffic lights occasionally I'll forget. So, not long after is when, I don't know if we burnt ourselves out or whatever, but not long after I met Kerry. And then I started on the railway, and my priorities were at difference. You know, I wanted to keep this job, I wanted to keep this girlfriend, and I didn't really see the boys again after that, really. It's really sad, because they were cracking lads, but life moves on. I do think about it sometimes, like, but not that much. Whatever, it is what it is. All good lads, all miss them greatly. And maybe one day, in our nursing homes, we can all wipe each other's asses. So, I'm going to hand over to one of the boys. And then hopefully, the rest of them. It shouldn't be too long an episode. Probably maybe, hopefully less than an hour. I've given 10 minutes. I've waffled on now for 7 minutes. So, it's not too bad. It's just a bonus. I'm trying to get it. Use me 20 megabytes of data that I've got left. So, there you go. So, have a lovely summer. And just you wait till you hear the August edition of Ego, because we've already recorded that. And it's either Podcast Gold or the Podcast Car Crash. I can't quite remember. I was a little bit drunk. So, see you later, guys.
Hi, this is Stuart, or more commonly known as just simply Craig's friend. So he's asked us to submit two songs that invoke strong feelings from our past. One I could think of was from a childhood when my dad, he wasn't the greatest dad. He was a drinker, he was an angry drunk. He used to come home after being out with his mates and, for the slightest reason, would go violent towards my mum, myself, brother and sister. To be fair, I was only really young. I was probably 4 or 5. So my brother and sister, who were older than me, got it a lot worse than what I did. And obviously my mum got it worse than the three of us. But the times where he wasn't drunk, he used to play guitar and sing, and he was pretty good. He sung all like Rat Pack stuff, Sinatra, Dean Martin, Perry Como, all the old crooners. But this song that sticks in my memory is by Don Williams, the country and western singer. I Recall a Gypsy Woman. I recall a gypsy woman. Silver spangles, and so on and so on. Because I'd be lying in my bedtime, and my dad would be in the next room playing his guitar, singing away. And this one particular song, for some reason, he taught me how to sing. He'd play guitar, and I'd sing along, and it became our little thing. Every bedtime, he'd come in, he'd sit on the edge of my bed, he'd play guitar, and I'd sing this song. And it was just our little thing, you know what I mean? There was times where I wasn't witnessing my dad hit my mum or being overly aggressive to me siblings. That was the good memory I had. Obviously, later on, he packed in the drink and he became a much better dad and husband. And when our kids came along, his grandkids, he was absolutely amazing with them. Can't fault the way he treated the grandkids. So even though that we do have an awful lot of bad memories, whenever I hear that song, I recall a gypsy woman. That just reminds me of the good times with my dad. Even though they were few and far between, always brings a smile to my face. He died 5 years ago of cancer, so I think that was his comeuppance, the way he treated us in his past. He had a horrible death. Oh God, that's as dark as Craig there, isn't it? So that's my number one. I've seen how Craig is on the subject. I suppose my second song I chose, I've got to involve him somewhere. It's been noted on this podcast and a couple of others, the way me and Craig met, so I won't go into that. We met on holiday in Lanzarote in 1994. Him and his now wife, Kerry, and me and my now wife, Michelle. We met up and we had a great time every night. We met up, went for drinks with them, had a fantastic time, probably the best holiday we've ever had. But we always went to this one club, the Farmhouse Tavern, and as soon as we walked down the stairs, it was an underground club, all the bar staff would go, "Oh, here's the Scousers," and we were sort of like minor mini celebrities. And this one song that we sort of took on was the terrible, terrible song. Now, whenever you hear it, you cringe. Is that Wigfield Saturday Night, 1994? Well, actually, it came out in 1995 in the UK, but it was doing the rounds the summer 94 abroad. And I had this stupid dance that, for some reason, the four of us learnt how to do it. And then whenever he played the song, the DJ, he'd say, "Come on, Scousers, get up and show them all how to do the dance." And we, thinking we were fantastic and looked cool, got up and we were doing this, the dance that you were supposed to do. Probably thinking about it now, everyone was looking at us thinking, what a load of knobheads they are. But we thought we were brilliant. The days where we were younger, fitter, thinner. No worries, no kids, no mortgage. Just a better time. So as I say, whenever I hear that song now, it always brings a smile to my face because of the memories of Lanzarote. Absolutely damn awful song now. But yeah, that's my two. So, thanks for listening. Over and out.
P-Dubs here. Craig wanted us to do this little thing, so here's my bit of it. So two songs that bring back memories of when you first heard them, or that kind of thing. Obviously could be that you kind of heard them but didn't get caught up in it, and then you've heard it somewhere that it's kind of have got you. And weirdly, the two that I'm going to pick are kind of connected in a way, because they both take me back to the same place, but over the space of 4 or 5 years, really. And that place is the Channel Island of Jersey, where I used to spend my summer holidays for a long time when I was a youngster, and still go back now, even at times. But the two songs, as I said, were spread over a few years. First one, and and they both got kind of the same connection as well. The first one, I went out there, and obviously everything was tax-free at the time. And I went out and bought my first cassette player. I bought it myself. I was about 8 or 9, I think. So my first Walkman I bought out there. And the first tape that I went and bought while I was there was Michael Jackson's Dangerous album, Now, I'd been a fan of Michael Jackson. The first single anyone had ever bought me, my brother bought me Bad on vinyl. So I'd always had a connection with Michael Jackson anyway. But kind of that he was kind of blowing up again. He obviously wasn't ever going to be as big as Thriller, Bad period. I don't think anyone would ever get as big as that again. But I went and bought Dangerous on tape in the Woolworths in Jersey. Another throwback to Woolworths. But yeah, and the song I'm actually going to pick the lead track off the album Dangerous. It just sounded like Michael Jackson again, and it just reminds me of those early holidays that I had on Jersey. And as I said, the second song, and I've talked about this band on the show before. Craig had me on to talk about them for a specific episode, but the band is Oasis, and as I said on that show, I didn't really get into them for those first two albums. It was obviously everybody knew what Wonderwall was and Don't Look Back in Anger and the whole Britpop fight between Blur and Oasis. But I was never a huge fan, and it wasn't until it was literally the week before I went away back to Jersey again, and there was a documentary on the BBC to launch the new album. The album was Be Here Now. Obviously one of the biggest selling British albums ever, it turned out to be. And it caught my eye, and I'd seen clips of the video for Do You Know What I Mean? That's the song that I'm talking about, the first single off the album, but I hadn't really taken any notice of it. But then I saw this documentary and really kind of got a grip of what they meant to people and what they meant to the country, how they'd kind of changed the music arena in the UK again, and I kind of got to grips with that, and again we flew out to Jersey, and that single was for sale, the Do You Know What I Mean single. I bought the album came out that week while I was there, so I bought both. But Do You Know What I Mean as a whole just invokes kind of me moving into a different period of my life. I was kind of heading towards, just trying to think what year that came out. It was 98, so I was 14, so I was kind of heading in towards that adulthood, and kind of growing up, coming towards the end of my school days, and just it really takes me back to kind of, as I say, growing up, and my musical tastes changing. Certainly I moved away from being a teenager as such in my choices of music and stuff like that. So yeah, they're my two songs and the reasons, the kind of memories that they invoke of my summer holiday spent in Jersey. So thank you, and on to the next guy.
So this is my contribution to this episode of Ego. I'm sure you know that this is Soap Dish or Nick, depending on what mood I'm in at this particular time. But Craig had asked for two tracks to discuss that have significance, I suppose, and takes it back to a moment in time. So I thought about it for a while, and the two tracks I'm going to choose, one is from my childhood and one is from when I was an adult. So the one from my childhood is Ashford and Simpson, Solid. It was the first time I'd heard a piece of music that really made me kind of pay attention to it. Until that time, my family had always played music. I'm sure everyone, you know, if it was in the house or in a car journey or whatever, would be listening to the radio or something like that. But a lot of it was just kind of background noise. And then I can't even remember exactly where I was. I think I was in the car when I first heard it. But that song just really had an impact. I still can't put my finger on it now. I mean, it's a good song. It's a great song. It must have been the production. Like, it just didn't sound like anything else I'd ever heard. And I love it. Like, even now, if I hear it, and I suppose it's the purpose of talking about stuff like this, it just brings back good memories, an innocent time, you know, when there wasn't any kind of cares or worries. You weren't worried about paying the next bill or, you know, keeping a roof over your head or anything like that. It was just an innocent time when you're like 5, 6 years old, might have been even younger than that actually. But that song always brings me back to childhood. So that is the first song that I would choose is that. So that's Ashford and Simpson Solid, or Solid as a Rock, as you might know it, but it's just called Solid. And the second one, and the one that's got a bit more of a story, was or is Provider by NERD. So NERD is a side project band that came from the Neptunes. And the Neptunes were a production group consisted of Pharrell Williams, who you know, and Chad Hugo, who you probably don't know. But in the early 2000s, they produced some of the biggest hip-hop and rap songs around that time. Drop It Like It's Hot, Shake Your Ass by Mystical, most of Khaleesi's stuff was Neptunes, Justin Timberlake's first album was Neptunes. In fact, Justin Timberlake's first album were songs produced by the Neptunes that Michael Jackson had actually rejected without ever hearing them, which when you hear that and you listen to things like, what's that song? Like I Love You by Justin Timberlake. You know, you hear that and you think, yeah, Michael Jackson could have quite easily sung that song. That's why they actually wrote it for him and gave it to Justin Timberlake. And they also did stuff like Girlfriend for NSYNC, which is where they first met Justin Timberlake. Drop It Like It's Hot by Snoop Dogg. I mean, the Neptunes were everywhere in the early 2000s. And NERD was a side project, and that was their rock band with a school friend of theirs called Shay. And I had heard one of their songs before, Rockstar, on the radio, and didn't really know anything about them, but I loved it. Like a real gritty guitar in there, and just really liked the song, but I didn't buy the album. And then one night I was coming home from going out clubbing, and I'd left Y2. We'd gone out that night, and I left him, and I was walking home, and some people tried to mug me, and I ran away. I didn't even have anything for them to take, to be honest, but they were trying to rob me, and so I ran, tried to get some help from cars passing by, and nothing happened, and I managed to lose them somehow. I don't know how I did it. I was half cut, but I did, and I got home, like, heart racing through my chest, all shook up, and my parents asked if I was all right, and I said, yeah, I'm fine. I just wanted to go and just be by myself. And I went upstairs and turned my TV on, and there was some music show on ITV playing music videos, and they were playing Provider by NERD, and it was off the same, their first album, which had also had Rockstar on it before. And it sounded totally different to Rockstar, just a bit more melancholy. And yeah, it was like the first thing I heard, and it kind of calmed me right down. And then a few days later, I went to Norway. It's a very long story. I'm sure Craig will cut the shit out. But when I was in Norway, I saw it on sale and I bought it. And my cousin was reading some music, so I was like, can I play this CD? And it was just an absolute stonker of an album. Just great track after great track. Just such a good album. I was so pleased to get it. And became a massive fan of them. And another reason for choosing an NERD song for my second song is it was at an NERD concert, my first ever one, that I met my now wife. So if that incident hadn't happened, I may not have bought the album. If I didn't buy the album, I certainly wouldn't have gone to see them in concert when they next came over. And if I hadn't gone to that concert, I wouldn't have met my wife or had my kids or probably been podcasting. So it's weird how music can have that kind of effect sometimes, where it's like a domino effect. And it just, it's like it sets a chain reaction off to other things. And I'm not religious at all. But I do believe in fate. And so sometimes when something happens which is horrible and you don't know why it's happened, that's the reason why, because it does actually lead to a chain of events that leads to better things and a better path. So that song always sticks in my memory. It's not my favourite NERD song, but it's the one that first made me go, I need to really give this band a listen. If you've never heard NERD, I do highly recommend them. The first two albums are brilliant. After that, they get a little bit ropey. The quality definitely dwindles as Pharrell's ego gets bigger, but they're okay. But that band will always be important to me and always have a special place in my heart. So that's why I wanted to say that one. I think there's nothing left for me to say other than cue the music.
Good days, bad days, just take them as they come along. Well, I say, you say, don't even matter to me. Smiling on the other side, smiling on the other.
Smiling on the other side. Smiling on the other side. Smiling on the other side. Smiling on the